Thank you so much, Kathy. Song is so true. Open your Bibles to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. I'll give you a second to get there. I'm going to start out this morning by talking about non-church appropriate things. My wife is going to get on to me later, but I'm not going to look at her right now while I tell this story. Our son Samuel started kindergarten this year, and that's been an adventure. I went to pick him up. You always think you've done a good job with your kids and raising them in the Lord and raising them right from wrong until they start kindergarten. And they get there. And Catherine hasn't experienced this yet, but I did Thursday, I think it was. She picked him up Friday. I'm done picking him up from kindergarten. I said, that's my last time. Because when I get there, and it all came back to me. I see Miss Lewis, his teacher, comes out, and Samuel's with her. And Samuel, of course, runs to me, and Miss Lewis points like this and goes, and I'm going. I remember these days. So I walk up, and Samuel... he learned that there are some words you don't say at school. There are some words you don't say anywhere. Stupid being one of those words. And I guess there were a bunch of girls, and he was having a pretty good fight. And he said, well, girls are just stupid. That is a no-no. No-no at kindergarten. He learned that. That morning at kindergarten, when everyone sang the school song, and they cheer the Bearcats on, the whole room is filled with kids that are shouting and singing the Bearcat song, and Samuel is standing there like this. And his teacher said, Samuel, you cannot hold your ears during the school song. And so Dad got chewed out for both of those things, and would we fix that at home? And we fix that at home. And then senior adult game night's Tuesday. This is where I want to get a little edgy. My wife is like, don't tell this, please. My son Caleb, done a good job with him, cute as could be. You know, it's nice when you're at senior adult game nights because they raise their children to be perfect. Sometimes senior adults, they think that. Our kids were never that bad. And I go, I know your kids. They're helping in the youth department. They're still that way. Right, James? He's not going to admit it. We know. We hear the stories. But senior adults, their kids were perfect. My kid, though, is not so perfect. We have failed, I guess. Caleb that night. All I hear is, you want to see my... No, they do not want to see that, Caleb. Stop. Freeze. I run over there and stop him. A few minutes later, I don't remember what senior adult it was. He had a cup of ice, and he throws it just right in their face, and we're going, Caleb, no, no. And then the worst, he comes over, and he puts his little bottom up against him. Oh, no. You're right. He did it. And he said, I tooted on you. And they're appalled. This is the pastor's kid. He learned that from his mom, I promise. there are times where you think, and you parents, you've all been there. So we went home thinking, we have the worst kids in the world. They're going to fire me. You've done a good job with your kids, and your kids have a good start, and we have. My kids will be scarred for life when they find out all the stories that I've told you about them, but I love my boys, and they're really good boys, but there are times that they do try our patience some. Chapter 13 of Judges we read, and what we learned last week was all about how Samson started off. He was very privileged child. He had a good teacher. He had godly parents. He had a great heart. But something goes wrong. And that's what Catherine and I were asking. She came home that night and said, where did we go wrong? And said, kids are kids, Catherine. Give them a break. They'll be all right. And we talked to him about it. But Samson, something went wrong in his life. We talked last week about the five amazing advantages that he had as he stepped into the world. First, his birth was announced by an angel. The angel of the Lord came and announced his birth to his parents. What an amazing way to start. Secondly, he was given a mission and a purpose. God said, before you've been born, this boy is going to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. He had that purpose from God. God came and announced his birth. God told his parents that he was going to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. His parents immediately asked God, how do we raise this kid? So we know that he had godly parents that did that. their best to raise him in the Lord. His parents sought after God on how to raise him. Fourth, he was blessed by God. Chapter 13 told us he was blessed by God as a young age. And it also told us that he was filled with the Spirit. The fifth thing was that he was filled with the Spirit from a young age. The Spirit was stirring in his life. So we looked at chapter 13. That was really the point. It was trying to set the stage. It wanted us to know where Samson came from. And I told you last week, it's real important that we understand Samson's beginnings in order to understand the story and his end. We have to understand that he was set apart. He had an amazing start in life. From the very beginning, God had set him apart as a Nazarite from birth, which a Nazarite was a person that was set apart. They couldn't drink alcohol. They couldn't cut their hair. They couldn't be around anything dead. From birth, he was set apart for this very special purpose. You compare Samson to other great heroes from the Bible. Not very many had such an amazing start or background like Samson had. Not many had an advantage like Samson had. So that leaves us one question. It's a question that Catherine asked me. Knowing how Samson's story starts, we have to ask ourselves, where did Samson go wrong? What happened in his life? When you know the end, what happened? Where did all that advantage go? We don't have to wonder about that answer. 13 tells us how he started. 14 is going to tell us how he started the area of decline really in his life, how he gave that all up. God's word is very pointed to that. Judges 13 paints a picture of a man that's been mightily prepared to be used by God. He's been set apart to be used by God. He's been Holy Spirit empowered and chosen for a specific purpose to be used by God. But then chapter 14 unfolds a story about how a man like that let it all get away from him, how he declined to become, we know how his story ends. We're going to look at the three mistakes Samson made this morning from Judges chapter 14. We'll start in verse 1 if you want to follow along with me. We'll read the first four verses there. It says, "Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a daughter in saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and he told his father and mother, 'I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife.' Then his father and his mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all your people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' But Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she looks good to me.' However, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel." So, the Philistines were a pagan people. We talked about that last week. They were idol worshipers. They didn't know God. They were totally oppressing the people of God. In fact, God had sent them to do that because Israel had turned away from God to idols and all sorts of sin. I want you to see, first off, Samson is called to deliver Israel from these people. But right here in the first four verses, that's exactly where Samson goes. He goes down into Timnah, the Philistine land. And I want you to see in your Bibles, in the first few verses, verse 1 actually, it says, then Samson went where? What direction? Everybody point. He went down to Timnah. He went down to Timnah. Now, when Scripture does that, it's not 100% of the time. We talked about this when we preached, went through the story of Jonah. Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down into the hold of the ship. Then he went down under the water into the belly of the well. When you're running from God, it's always a downward motion. You're always going down. So Scripture is very pointed here. When it says he goes down to Timnah, the text is very clear. He went down geographically, but he also went down spiritually. This was a downward spiral spiritually. First, Samson went to the wrong place. That's my first point this morning. He deserted, I believe I have his home. Is that what I have? Yes. Didn't write those second statements down. He deserted his home. He went to the wrong place. He was out looking for something. The text tells us he was out adventuring through life, but he notices something in the Philistine land. He notices a woman, something that brought him away from God's people down into the land of the enemy. Verse 2 tells us why he went down. He went down looking for a wife. He went down looking for a woman. This was more than just a casual visit. The two things go together. He didn't only go to the wrong place. He went there looking for the wrong thing. You see, that's a problem when we go outside the will of God for our lives, though. You can say, well, Daniel, you're really reading into that. That doesn't say that going down looking for a woman was a bad thing. I'm going to show you that it is, because the text it really does say it is. The Bible doesn't say necessarily that Samson had done anything wrong. But look at the text. It says he goes to the wrong place. Then he went down there, and the devil had laid a trap for him. Here's this woman that he sees, and that's a problem. When we go outside the will of God for our lives, we go places that we shouldn't be spiritually or physically. Satan always has a trap for us there. That's why God likes to protect us and keeps us under his umbrella. I've talked about that before. But when we walk out from that umbrella and we go places that we shouldn't be, Satan's there ready. He's ready to pounce. We're going to see that several times in the story of Samson. That's what Satan does here. There's this dangerous trap out there, God leads us around him. But when we go outside of God's will, and that's what Samson does. He goes down to Timnah. He gets off God's path for his life, and there's this hot Philistine woman. That's the way the youth would say it today. She is cute. She has it all. Samson sees her. He lays eyes on her. He doesn't even know her, by the way. All this verse says, if you look, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. That's all he says. The next deal, he sees her and he wants her. He says, get her for me, for she looks good to me. First off, I want you to understand, this is no love story here. This isn't love. This is not a love story. This is a lust story. He doesn't even know this woman. He's just down in Timnah where he's not supposed to be. The Philistine lands, idol worshippers. He's down where he's not supposed to be. He sees this woman. He lays eyes on her. He doesn't know her. It's not love at first sight. It's lust at first sight. It's not a beautiful thing. It's a sinful thing. I can tell you that because look what his parents say. He tells his mom and dad, and then in verse 3, look what they say to him. Remember, these are godly parents trying to raise their child the way that God wants him to be raised. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? So to his parents, are they for this marriage? Absolutely not. But look at Samson's next response. Go get her for me. Go get her for me. So what's he doing there? He's disobeying who? His parents. Absolutely. There's no way this is a godly thing. Aside from that, and probably even greater than that, God had told Israel very, very specifically, do not marry these pagan people. Marry within your own people. Marry an Israelite. Marry those that are circumcised and know the Lord and to worship Yahweh. Don't go outside and marry with these pagan people, because when you do, you will become pagan yourself. God knows that. That was God's law. So not only are his parents warning him for obvious reasons, they know it's lust, they know it's a bad thing, they're warning him because they know God's word. They prayed for him. They've raised him the way that God wants him to. They're begging him not to do it. It's not just a strict parent talking. This was a parent that knew God's word, that God they knew that God had told his people over and over again, don't marry with these pagan cultures. But here was Samson. All he could think about was how beautiful this woman was. It didn't matter what God said. It didn't matter what his parents said. The truth is, Samson even knew the Ten Commandments. He would have known by this point Exodus 20 verse 12, which says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord God gives you. Now, your parents, your kids hear that? Honor your father and your mother. Listen to this part. I want you to catch. I'm going to chase a rabbit for a second. That your days may be long in the land that the Lord God gives you. Now, have y'all ever read that second part of that verse? Honor your father and your mother that your days may be what? Long. I want the students to say it loud. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long. Yeah, see, we always stop that honoring father and mother, and that doesn't sound like good news. That your days may be long. Parents, I'm going to help you out this morning. I'm going to try at least. I want you to see something here. God's word says that if you honor your father and mother, your days will be long. Now, we live in a world that science and doctors and that's all we try to do is lengthen our lives. Man, through science and medicine, there have been adventurers or explorers since the beginning of time that has searched for the fountain of youth. Man, what do we have? We want to live a long and a full life. We don't want our life to be cut short. Here's the secret right here. Right here, God's word. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Young people, I want you to hear this. If you know the story of Samson, if you know it, and if you don't, in a few weeks you will, you think about it. Did he live a long life? He died at his prime. He died at his prime. When he pushed those pillars apart, even though he rescues Israel from the Philistines, he dies there, and that was not God's plan for his life. Because when you honor your father and mother, you're going to have a long life, according to this verse. See, but Samson, he didn't do it. And his life was cut short because of it. If you know the story, he died young. It was a tragic death. He had died at a time where he ought to be at his peak of his life. And ultimately, the reason he died was right here in this verse. This is what started it all. He failed to honor his father and his mother. There's a reason that God's word tells us that. His life, it all comes back to this decision. Say, no way. You mean I can make a decision my freshman year of high school that affects me the rest of my life? Absolutely. Absolutely. Every decision you make in life matters. Yeah, that's what God's word says. Samson, he makes this decision and it starts a downward spiral in his life. His life, it all comes back to right here. He was at the wrong place and Satan lays a trap for him and he falls into it. Here's a man with all this potential, raised by godly parents, announced by angels, purposed by God, a Nazarite from birth, filled with God's Spirit. And he goes to the wrong place and there she is. See, Satan knows your weakness. Adult Satan knows your weakness too. Satan knows it, whatever it is. And when you leave the covering of your parents, when you leave outside of God's will, and you spiritually and physically put yourself in a place that's dangerous, that trap's there. He's ready and he's waiting. There's a reason God said, honor your father and your mother. Samson's life was cut short. His parents tried to stop him. They saw the danger, but young Samson was like so many teenagers. He knew better. He knew better. Tough words for teenagers out. We're just looking for a good time, Pastor. We're just looking to have fun. We're just enjoying our young years. I know, Mom and Dad, they're just trying to keep us from enjoying life. You parents, that's what you hear all the time. You know that's what they're teenagers. You know that's what you think. I'm sure that's what Samson thought. Dad, you go get her for me. Just go get her for me. I know it's unbiblical. I know she's not best, but you go get her for me. His parents saw the danger, but Samson knew better. But while you're looking out for fun, while you're looking out to enjoy those teenage years, I assure you, Satan is not playing around. He's looking for your life. He's looking for your testimony. He's looking for your faith. And he's going to try to get you away from God and outside of the covering of your parents so that when you're there, he can put whatever that tempts you, whether it be a woman or a boy or drugs or sex or alcohol, or it doesn't matter, driving too fast in a car, he wants your life. He wants your witness. He wants your faith. And when he gets you outside of the will of your parents and he gets you outside the will of God, that trap is set for you. And you walk right into it. Dangerous words from Samson. Honor your father and your mother that your life may be long. Samson was looking in the wrong place for the wrong thing. If you read verse 4, I'm going to talk about it because you may be confused. Because it says, well, you can read it in your Bibles. Man, a confusing verse. However, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. So Samson wandering away was of the Lord, right? So we could say, how do you know, Mom and Dad, that me going to that party wasn't of the Lord? Because I'm just trying to reach those kids there, right? That's what we say. Just trying to reach out to them. That's why I go to the bar every Friday night. I'm just reaching the lost there, right? Is that what we do? I'm hanging out with this girlfriend. We're making out on Makeout Hill here in Dillion. I don't even know if there is one. But we're doing that because she's not a Christian and I'm trying to get her into church, right? We're good at that. We're good at that because we could use verses like this. We could. God knows what he's doing. Some people may wonder if somehow this verse contradicts what I'm saying. The answer is no. The verse is not saying that Samson was right in trying to marry the Philistine girl or going down to Timnah. That would contradict God's word. It would be a contradiction of what God said, do not marry other than an Israelite. Don't marry outside. God will never, ever contradict His word. So you can know for sure that God isn't saying to do this. Scripture's clear on this point. He should have never gone down there. He should have never disobeyed his parents. He should have never tried to marry that Philistine. That was against God's word. Just because God can use something for good, just because God can use something for good, it doesn't make the thing good. Can God use sin for good? Absolutely. Can God take the stupid things that we do in life and use them for good? Oh, I said stupid in church. Yes. Told you he got it from his mom. Can God do it? Yes. He can. Does that make it good? No. The verse is teaching us something about the providence of God. Samson was not going down there, by the way, because in his mind he thought, I need to go down there to seek an occasion for the Philistines so I can beat them up and deliver God's people. Samson didn't plan this out in his heart. He went down there because he was down in Timnah, a place he shouldn't be, and he saw a hot little thing over there that he decided he wanted. He was there because of the lust of his eyes, not because he was obeying God's will for his life. Don't get confused there. When you're going to that party, you're not going thinking, I'm here to reach the lost. You're going to have a good time with your friends and drink a little and smoke a little and have fun and enjoy life. Adults, this goes for some of you too. We go places that we shouldn't go, and sometimes we justify it. We say, well, maybe God will use me there. But the truth is, just because God may use you there, it doesn't make the thing right that you did. God can turn it for good. I've had people come to my office and say, well, Pastor, this happened. It was a terrible, sinful thing. But look at all the good that came from that. You cannot justify your sin by the good that come of it. You can worship God because He's a good God. That makes it good. But don't you justify the thing. Don't justify your sin because of the end result. Jesus had to die for that sin to make it right. He had to die to make it okay. He turned it for good because He loves you, obviously more than you care or to love Him. But that sin costs something. God turns the things in our lives for good at times. That's what He does for Samson. It's a crazy idea, but sometimes we do that. We justify our actions by the end result. We look at what God does with our mistakes and we justify our mistakes. That's not what verse 4 is saying. That's not what verse 4 is saying. Sin is destructive and it's dangerous and it's deadly no matter how you look at it. But God is big enough, and He loves us enough, and He's great enough that He can even use the sin in our lives to fulfill His plan. But it's never as good as it would have been if we had followed Him all along. You'll see that in the life of Samson. The truth is, from this text, it's dangerous, church, to be outside the will of God. And I'm not just talking to high school students about going to a party or a bar. Those places are obvious. My wife always says, nothing good ever happens after midnight. She's right. Nothing good ever happens after midnight. I'm not just talking to the high school students. I'm not just talking adults about alcohol or drugs, or obviously most of us in here aren't struggling with those things. I'm talking about a life of obedience. I'm talking about being where God asks you to be, serving where God asks you to serve, being at church when you're supposed to be at church. Being with your family when you're supposed to be with your family. Doing the things God has called you to do. Because being in the wrong place is very dangerous. It's actually life-threatening, spiritually and physically. That's what we see in Samson's life. So let me ask you a question before we go to the next point. Are you at the right place in your spiritual life? Are you at the right place in your walk with God? If not, you need to move. Samson's first mistake was going to the wrong place. He deserted his home. Secondly, let's read verses 5 through 11. 5 through 11. Then Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. The spirit of Yahweh came upon him mightily so that he tore him as one tears a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. So he went down and talked to the woman, and she looked good to Samson. When he returned later to take her, he turned to look at the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. So he scraped the honey into his hands and went on, eating it as he went. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they ate it. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey out of the body of the lion. Then his father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there, for the young men customarily did this. When they saw him, they brought him 30 companions to be with him. My last points are actually in this text. We're not going to go any further than that today. First, Samson went to the wrong place. He dishonored his parents by deserting his home. He went to Timnah to take a wife. And the second mistake Samson made was that he did wrong things. He deserted the promise or the vow that he had made. Now remember, the vow of the Nazarite is what we're talking about. I've already mentioned what it was. Nothing from the vine. He couldn't even touch it. No alcohol. Nothing fermented at all. Nothing from the vine. He couldn't be around anything dead. Dead animals, dead people, anything like that. And no cutting his hair. He couldn't cut his hair. Three things, the vow of the Nazarite. From birth. Now Samson's a teenager, an older adult. He hasn't cut his hair from birth. He hasn't drunk alcohol. His mom didn't even drink alcohol. Totally set apart for God's purpose. That's what this vow meant. This is God's word, and God's word doesn't give us these details for nothing. Notice in verse 5, the first thing, Samson, he goes down again. It actually says it twice. He's going down to Timnah again. Down and down. That's the theme of Samson's life. He starts better than anyone started. Man, angels announce his birth, Nazarite from birth, set apart by God, godly parents, started up high, but his life is just a journey, down and down and down. Down to Timnah to see the woman now for the second time. His parents say no, but in verse 5, here they go down anyway to get him his wife. Down to Timnah. And to get us, again, notice in verse 5, all the way to where? What? The vineyard, right? Now what grows at a vineyard? Grapes, right? Wine. This is a place that they make wine. Now, I believe that was one of the restrictions a Nazarite couldn't do. No wine, nothing from the vine. Samson. What's a person that's not supposed to drink wine at a place where they make wine? Person that's been set apart, what are you doing there? Say, Pastor, that doesn't mean that he took a drink. Not yet, but if you look down in verse 10, I want you to see in verse 10, it says, then his father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there for the young men, customarily did this. A feast there. I want you to know that verse right there in verse 10, it says feast. That feast there was traditionally like a bachelor party. It was a big wedding party or maybe a rehearsal dinner or a reception, except they did all their partying before the wedding. They didn't have the big receptions afterwards. They did it beforehand. That's what this was. It was a feast, and it was customarily done for young men, as the text says. The Hebrew word there is very specific. It is the Hebrew word mista. Mista. And it literally means a banquet and occasion for drinking. That's what it means. This was a drinking party. The particular word is used over and over again in the Old Testament for a party in which people come to get drunk. So his vow is very, very specific. He's not to drink wine. That's the vow of a Nazarite. No alcoholic beverages of any kind. Yet here he's throwing a party, a drinking party, right before he gets married to a Philistine woman that he's not supposed to marry. Now, I know that doesn't mean he drunk at a party. You hear that all the time. I'm going to go and I'm just going to watch others, but I'm not going to drink. But it always starts that way. You go to a party where there drugs are, and eventually you're going to do drugs. You go to places where there's alcohol, eventually you're going to start drinking. That's just life. God says that. Iron sharpens iron. So as one man sharpens another, bad company corrupts good character. So you want to be sharper, you go around people that are sharp spiritually. You want to dull yourself, you go around people that are dull spiritually. You want to corrupt your character, you hang out with the 30 companions that Samson is with. That's what he does. We're talking specifically about the vow of the Nazarite now. This is not just what's right and wrong, this is the vow that Samson has made. My point is that Samson didn't just go to wrong places. He did wrong things. Chapter 14 is being very specific to let us know that the vow is what is in danger here. I want you to see that. Now, we can maybe argue, did he drink? Did he not drink? I think the context shows us. When you realize what chapter 14 is about, you start to see. The vineyard may not prove it. The party may not prove it. But look at what comes next. As he's on his way down there in verse 5, down to Timnah, where he's not supposed to be, out comes running this lion. Big lion, because when you're not where you're supposed to be, you're in danger. You know, Peter talks about Satan's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. That's you guys. He's seeking us. He wants to devour us. So when you're not where you're supposed to be, there Satan is lurking as a lion ready to take you down. That's where he is. And this lion comes running out after him. And Samson, with God's Spirit, just tears this lion apart. Just kills it. Rips it apart with his bare hands. Kills it. That's how strong he was. Tears it apart and leaves it there dead. But I want you to notice something in verse 6. Verse 6 is there for a reason. The very last part, that part, it has, he tears the young, just like he tears a lion, just as one tears a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, semicolon, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Notice that? Why is that there? He didn't tell his father and mother what he had done. Now, I don't know about you, but when you go out to the golf course by yourself and you hit a hole in one, what's the first thing you do? You call somebody and tell them about it, right? You kick yourself because they weren't there. You didn't video it. You got to tell someone. You know, now if it's a Sunday, you don't call your pastor, of course, but you call someone. That's the first thing hunters do. Man, they shoot that 24-inch double drop-time deer. The first thing they do, I know when Matt shot a buck, because about 10 minutes afterwards, I get the picture on my cell phone. Here is Kelly. Man, they've sent it. And that's what Chris Hodges just the other day shot a Axis deer, Axis buck. Man, just proud as could be. Wish he was here. He'd be embarrassed. I told you his horns were that big. First thing, I mean, and 10 minutes later, there it is on my phone. Shot an Axis deer. He's just proud, and I'm proud of him. They're fun. And he was just side beat. But we show that off, man. When we do that, we tell somebody about it. We got to tell somebody. If you're by yourself, man, you want somebody to know. That's Samson. He's by himself. He's gone down there with his parents, but at some point, he split off from them. He's gone by this vineyard. This lion comes out. He tears it apart. Man, when you get that report card with straight A's on it, you carry it home, you put it on the fridge. It may be the only one you got. You leave it up there the rest of your 4 years through high school. You want everybody to see, look what I did. I did a good thing. Samson had just ripped a lion apart with his hands. I'm telling you, that's something that a guy brags about. Something that somebody, you want to tell somebody. You would tell a mighty deed like that. But Samson, he didn't tell his parents. That in there by accident. God's word doesn't have things there by accident. Why? Because killing a lion meant touching something dead. That's a violation of the vow of the Nazarite. Number 6 specifically says that he couldn't touch a dead body of an animal, a person, anything. So if that wasn't enough, if you think, well, Daniel, that's stretching it. He had to kill the lion. It was going to kill him. Look at verse 8, because chapter 14 wants us to know that he deserted his home and he deserted his vow. That's what this story's about. It's not just entertaining children's stories. They're fun to read. Yeah, killed a lion with his bare hands. Goes back later in what? In verse 8. Look at it. Verse 8. When he returned later to take her, he's not supposed to be there anyway. Not supposed to marry her anyway. He turned aside to look at the carcass of the lion. What's a carcass? Dead animal. He turns aside to look at the carcass, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. You ever been around something dead? I mean, I've seen a cow one time. We had my cousin's place had a cow die one time. About 105 degrees in Oklahoma. Set out for several weeks. Finally, his dad said, y'all go bury that cow. That thing, by that time, was 3 times its normal size. You've seen them. Huge, bloated, look like a balloon. So we dig a hole with the backhoe, get the tractors out there, and I dig the hole with the backhoe. They have a backhoe, and I dig the hole right beside the cow. We're holding our nose the whole time. It smells, but not terrible. Then he brings the tractor with the front end loader on it to push this cow over into this hole. Don't do that. He touched that thing in first roll. I've never seen a cow blew up. Now, he's in a cab tractor with glass. I'm on a backhoe with no glass. Gross. I've never smelled something so bad in my life. I still, my stomach, as I wrote this last night, my stomach was just churning. Disgusting. Disgusting. Dead things are gross. There's a reason a Nazarite, you made that vow, you couldn't be around things dead. I'm not just trying to gross you out. I want you to see what happened here. He killed a lion. Comes back to the body of the lion. Set out in that hot sun. It's rotted. And sometime along the way, bees have made a home in this thing. There's a honeycomb in there. And here's a man that's not supposed to even be near anything dead. Not supposed to touch anything dead for sure. And that honey looks really good. And so he reaches inside. And I honestly don't think it has anything to do with the honey. That's disgusting. Samson is deserting his vow. He's rebelling. He's intentionally saying, I'm not supposed to be around anything dead. I've known that from birth. Watch this, God. And so he takes this honey and he's eating it. Not only is he touching it, he's ingesting this honey from this dead animal. Deserted his vow. Doesn't tell his parents about it. Says again, look in verse 9. So he scraped the honey in the hands and went out, eating as he went. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them. And they eat it too. They don't know it. But look, but, there's that semicolon again, but he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey out of a body of a lion. Why didn't he tell them? Because that would have been a violation of the vow of the Nazarite. They would have said, you vowed not to be near anything dead. What are you doing scraping honey out of a dead carcass? What's chapter 14 doing? He went to the wrong place. He deserted his home and he did wrong things. He's deserting his vow. Drinking now? That's why the vineyard's there. That's why he threw that party. Text wants to make it clear. Now he's been around something dead. Ate honey out of a dead lion. Two things. What's the third thing he hasn't done? Got a haircut, right? What's coming later on? He's going to get a haircut. Chapter 14 wants to make it clear. Step by step, Samson is walking away from God. Step by step, he's walking away from the vow that he's made. Put the two incidents together, the vineyard and the feast, the lion and the honey. You see, chapter 13 told us how he started, just how well off he was, but chapter 14, it tells us just how far down he begins to go. Here was a man set apart by God, never to drink, now he's drunk. Never to be around anything dead, now he's ate honey out of a dead lion. Two of the three are toast. The only the part of the vow that he hasn't broken yet is to cut his hair. But if he keeps going down this road of sin, you can bet he'll do it. He'll do it. Samson at this point is a blatant picture of a believer going further and further away from God. It's a sack trail that we travel. He started by going to wrong places. And then he started doing the wrong things. He started going against the commitments to God that he had made. But like so many Christians, Samson knew how to keep up the appearance. I firmly believe that's why he cut his hair last. He knew how to keep up the appearance. He knew how to look like a man of God, but on the inside be very far from it. See, if you simply looked on the outside, you'd see his long hair. You'd think, man, oh, a Nazarite from birth. What a holy man. What a picture of God's Spirit. Man, what a great believer. You would see his picture of dedication and commitment to God, but his lifestyle and truth told a whole other story. On the outside, he looked like a man of God. He looked like he prayed. He looked like he studied God's word. He may have even looked like he went to church and served God. But on the inside, he wasn't that different from the world at all. That's what eventually happens when you drift away from God. Starts out innocently enough. You test the water. You wonder where you don't belong. You let your lust and your emotions lead you. And then casually you start going your own way, oblivious to the danger that's ahead. Eventually, your spiritual commitments, they don't mean so much to you anymore. And you start deserting those vows and those promises that you made to God. God, I make you Lord and Savior of my life. But later on, you're not so much my Lord and Savior anymore. I want to run my life. Before long, you end up like Samson. Man, you look all spiritual on the outside. But you're totally worldly on the inside. First, Samson went to wrong places. He dishonored his parents. He deserted his home. Second, he did wrong things. He began to desert his vow. The third mistake Samson made, he went to wrong places, did wrong things, and third, he did them for the wrong reason. He distorted his purpose. He deserted his purpose. He deserted his home, he deserted his vow, and he deserted his purpose. So what was Samson's purpose anyway? Do you remember it? Remember what the angel came and told his parents? He said, this boy will begin the deliverance of Israel from the Philistines. From birth, God said, this was his purpose. He's going to be a hero. He's going to be a judge. He's going to be a deliverer. He's going to set Israel free. But now look at him. He's having a wedding party with the enemy. He's marrying one of them. Verse 11 ends that way. They see this big party he's throwing, and they bring him 30 buddies to party with him. They're having this big wild party. It's a wedding party, basically. See, in their tradition, they would do the huge party for several days or even weeks before the wedding. And like so many people do today, even when it comes to a wedding reception, I do a lot of weddings and I get a councilman. And one of the questions I always ask is, are you going to have alcohol at your wedding? Catherine and I don't go to those receptions. Just not a good testimony usually. And they usually turn out really bad in the end. But I always tell people, I just strongly suggest you not to do that, because it amazes me. The number one thing that I deal with in my office later on with marriages that are falling apart, you know what it is? Alcohol. And I'll say, you know where this started? You're celebrating the end before the beginning. Let's just all have a wedding and then let's go drink to the thing that's going to destroy the wedding, the marriage in the long run. I know that's a soapbox, but I'm telling you, I see it all the time as a pastor. It's not worth it. That's right where Samson is. Man has this big party. He's drinking where he's not supposed to be drinking. Celebrating the end really from the beginning, and that's really true in Samson's case. This marriage was over before it even started. His purpose was to deliver Israel from the Philistines. All this strength that God gives him, this amazing start that God gave him, announced by angels, a Nazarite from birth, godly parents, filled with God's Spirit. That's what chapter 13 was all about. And how has Samson used all of that so far? To serve God? To deliver Israel? Not one bit. Who is Samson serving? Himself. He's taking all that God's given him and is using it on himself. Something strange is happening here. I mean, Samson was supposed to deliver Israel from the Philistines. But as you look, you begin to wonder, whose battle is he really fighting? His own or God's? Who's he really living for? It's a dangerous one, church. Because life has a way of distracting us. Life has a way of pulling us away from God. Life has a way of consuming us. Our work has a way of consuming our time. Our hobbies have a way of enticing us away from God. And all that comes together and we end up taking all that God's given us and we start consuming it for our own purposes. That's what Samson's doing. We distort the purpose God has given us. We take our time and energy and we use it the way we want to. We take our money and we spend it the way we want to. We take our energy and we give it and use it on things that don't matter. We take our gifts. That's why I'm so appreciative of those that get up here and sing. Like Kathy sang, it's so amazing someone takes a gift and says, I'm going to use it for God and not myself. I'm going to express it. Samson, he took all that God gave him and he just lived the way he wanted to. He just lived for himself. It's a dangerous thing when we take our gifts and we use them for our glory rather than God's. Take our gifts, we take the way that we were raised, we take that godly heritage that we were given and we use them for the Lord or for us instead of the Lord. Here's Samson, he's forgetting the one thing that he's called to do. He's called to live for God's glory. That's what sin does, church. That's what all this down and down and down is about. That's the one thing Satan wants to get you to do in life. He wants you to forget your purpose. He wants you to forget that you exist to glorify God. That's Satan's one goal in his existence. It's to steal the glory that you're supposed to be giving to the Lord. He wants to take your eyes off God and put it on lust and sex and material things and fun and pleasure and money and everything that he can. It doesn't even matter to him what it's on. As long as it's not on Jesus Christ, that's all he cares about. He just wants to steal their glory. He wants to steal your purpose. He knows one thing. If your eyes are on all those things, they won't be on the one thing you were created for. That's what happens to Samson. He deserts his purpose. Samson, don't you see? Don't you know who you were created for and what you were created for? You can put your name in there too. Don't you realize what you were created for and who you were created for? Created for a purpose, set apart at birth, filled with God's Spirit. We've been given gifts and talents and resources, all for God's glory. But so many times we take all that God's given us and we pour it into our own world and our own kingdoms and our own lives. Like Samson, we live for the wrong purpose. He was living for the wrong purpose. He was living for the wrong reason. A secular band song came to me as I prepared this week. The band's name is Hoobastank. Now, I don't know who why you name your band Hoobastank, but they did. Hoobastank was the band's name, and they wrote a song called A Reason. Very popular song for a while. And the lyrics say this: I found a reason for me to change who I used to be, a reason to start over new, and the reason is you. Of course, the lyrics are written probably about a girl, most likely. But I just kept coming back to them. I found a reason for me to change who I used to be, a reason to start over new, and the reason is you. He's our reason. His glory is our reason. That's our purpose. They had the lyrics right, actually. They just had the you wrong. They just missed it on that pronoun. The you here can't be a woman like Samson found, or a job, or a hobby. The you, the reason that we live, that we exist, it has to be the glory of God. We have to get that right. The mistakes we make when we go wrong places, when we do wrong things, and we live for wrong reasons. Samson makes a mess with his life. But one thing we see over and over again in the life of Samson is that our God is a God of second chances. Again and again and again, despite Samson's sin, despite him breaking his vow, despite him using all of God's blessings for his own purposes, God uses him. Amazing testimony of God's grace and mercy. No matter how many times Samson turns his back on God, God never turns his back on Samson. So to close the day, I want to tell each and every person here from God's word that you have a purpose. God has a purpose for you. And it's good. And it's better than anything you could ever come up with on your own. God has a calling for you. He set you apart from birth. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And He has a plan for your life. Each and every person here. But God doesn't force us into that plan. He doesn't make us choose Him. He wants us to choose Him. He wants us to want Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to want to serve Him. He wants the best for our lives. He wants us to want to live for His glory. He wants us to do those things because He knows in the end that's really where we're the happiest anyway. He doesn't make us. He invites us. He invites us. And I'm inviting you this morning. The decision's up to you. It's decided by where you go. It's decided by the things that you do. It's decided by the reason that you live. There's someone here today that has never made the decision to follow God for your life, that's never made the decision to live for His glory. You've never asked Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. You're going to have an opportunity to today. The invitation's open. God has a plan. He's just waiting for you to walk in it. Man, Samson is supposed to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. That plan was there. Samson just kept marching to his own beat. He kept living for his own glory. God has a plan for you. He's just waiting for you to walk in it. You just have to choose to start letting Him lead you today. It's not too late. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, it's not too late. If you're breathing, it's not too late.